On Monday of this week, Donald Trump put out a post on Truth Social bragging about the fact that he had, of course, secured the $175 million bond for his fraud trial. Of course, he had one of his, you know, Republican donors who also happens to own a bank. He's the guy who stepped in and saved Trump, as he has actually multiple times in the past, by helping refinance some of Donald Trump's properties. But that part is beside the point. Trump was adamant that he had this bond. Everything was taken care of. No need to worry, folks. Trump's got it all under control. Except for the fact that his idiot lawyers don't know how to fill out forms, and his bond application has now been rejected by the court. Although technically, even though it was rejected, it was just sent back to Donald Trump's legal team for them to correct it and then resubmit it. But technically, by definition, as of right now, Donald Trump hasn't actually paid the bond because his lawyers are so stunningly stupid. The court was forced to return the bond application to Donald Trump and his lawyers, saying, y'all made three pretty big mistakes. The first mistake is that you didn't include documentation showing Donald Trump's current financial status, which means y'all gotta turn over all of Donald Trump's financial statements. We need to know how many properties he has, what each property is worth. We need to know how much money he personally has in the bank. We need all of these things, as we had already requested, and you just chose to not submit them. We don't know why, but you got to turn those in. Second thing, you didn't tell us who had power of attorney. Again, especially in a legal proceeding, we kind of need to know that. Like, who are your lawyers? Basically is what they're saying. Who are these people submitting these documents? And then the funniest one of all, we need to know who the attorney in fact is. Now, if that phrase is confusing to you, don't worry. Basically, what they explained in the return of the documents is that you didn't sign it. So we kind of need the attorney in fact. We need to know who it is. And then they have to sign this little line right here at the end of the document, which they pointed out was not signed. So tell us who is signing it. And then you actually have to sign it this time. These are mistakes. And I know this, by the way, 20 years working in a law firm. These are mistakes that get people fired. Because these are not simple, oopsie-doo, I totally forgot about this kinds of mistakes. These are mistakes that typically will cost people their jobs, and rightfully so, because these are major, major mistakes. Because what this tells the client, again, in a law firm that actually functions properly, like the one I work at, what this tells the client is that your lawyers are not good. Your lawyers don't know what they're doing, and they have hired incompetent people to work on your case. No client wants to see that. So that is why, again, these are typically offenses that will either get somebody kicked off a case, or in some instances, will get people actually fired from their jobs, because it shows that your office is not good at what they do. And your job as a lawyer, one of them, is to instill faith in your client that you've got everything under control. Trump's lawyers clearly do not. And I know Donald Trump probably thinks, hey, this is no big deal. But listen, if your lawyers can't even manage to fill out a simple form properly, what makes you think they're going to be able to go in front of that appellate court in September, which is when this case is going to be heard, and actually make a good legal argument for you? They can't fill out forms. They didn't know to sign their name at the end of the document where it says sign here. So yeah, best of luck with this team of morons. I'm totally sure they're definitely going to win this case for you. An independent watchdog group is actually suggesting that Ted Cruz may have broken the law by accepting a $630,000 donation to his super PAC, which is called the Truth and Courage Political Action Committee. the $630,000 donation from the year 2023, which accounted for a third of Cruise's PAC's income that year, came from iHeartRadio. And iHeartRadio happens to be the syndicate that actually airs Ted Cruz's podcast, for which he has assured us multiple times, including in responding to this story, he doesn't get paid for it. He does that poor podcast out of the goodness of his heart. So if the company that he's producing a free podcast for wants to give $630,000 to his political action committee, then they should be allowed to do it. See, there's multiple problems with this, as the Watchdog Group points out. First and foremost is the fact that any company that employs lobbyists, and I'm not talking about a company that goes out there and hires a lobbying firm. Pretty much all major companies do that. But if your company itself actually employs lobbyists on the payroll, then federal campaign finance laws prohibit you from accepting any contributions, including into your political action committee, from that organization, unless they are, you know, nominal. If they want to give you $1,000, that's okay. If they want to give you $630,000, that's definitely not okay. See the difference? Like, okay, $1,000, maybe $500, or over half a million dollars. Yeah, big, big difference there, Ted. And then, of course, you have the issue where, again, Ted Cruz is doing this podcast for free for iHeartRadio. Yet iHeartRadio, when they were asked, you know, why did you give Ted Cruz so much money? Their vice president of public relations said the payments to Truth and Courage PAC are, quote, associated with those advertising sales for the podcast. Uh-oh. See, that statement is indicative of you paying him for the podcast. Now, listen, if Ted Cruz wants to get paid to be a podcaster, even while serving as a sitting member of the United States Senate, he is allowed to do that. Like, you can make money off of that. However, you can't disguise that income because, again, iHeartRadio said, hey, this is based on the ad sales we get from his podcast that he doesn't get paid for. So we're basically giving his money to him, but you're funneling it through his political action committee. If that's not illegal, then I don't know what would be, right? Because this almost, to me, the only way I think I could describe it would be like money laundering, kind of, you know? I mean, that's the way I see it. Maybe you see it differently. Maybe you have a better definition. But if it's like, hey, I need to give you this money, but I'm worried about giving you this money this way, so instead, I'm going to send the money through here, okay? This other thing over here, which then you can access at a later time. That's how money laundering actually works. I'm not saying that Ted Cruz is guilty of money laundering by any stretch of the imagination, but this certainly gives the appearance of iHeartRadio trying to funnel money to Ted Cruz while skirting certain, you know, rules and regulations here. But it's the fact that they gave so much, and of course, such a large donation from a company that employs lobbyists, that's what really raised the red flags. But there seems to be a lot of red flags here, and I think I agree with the Campaign Legal Center, and maybe Ted Cruz broke the law with this, maybe he didn't, but as the Campaign Legal Center says, the very least we could do is to have an investigation and maybe clear all this up, you know, for Ted Cruz, for iHeartRadio, and of course for the public, because I think we all deserve to know if a sitting member of the United States Senate is breaking campaign finance laws. But even if he is, don't worry about it. These things rarely, if ever, get enforced. He might pay a fine, which would probably be smaller than the amount he actually received from them. So even if he did break the law, nothing will happen to Ted Cruz. Donald Trump's Trump Media and Technology Company, which of course is now being a publicly traded company, has continued its freefall for this entire week after the reports came out on Monday showing that Truth Social loses tens of millions of dollars per year. And as that stock price continues to tumble, Donald Trump continues to lose money. So he did what any normal person would do, and he went on Truth Social and had a complete and total psychotic meltdown where he was screaming like a lunatic in all caps, claiming that Truth Social is, of course, the greatest site ever created. He didn't sound panicked or freaked out at all about his company going down the drains. Here is what Donald Trump put in a series of posts on Truth Social on Thursday morning. Because obviously, right, before I even read it, this dude woke up on Thursday and was so panicked about all the money he's losing from the value of that stock just going right down the toilet that he opened his app, got on Truth Social, and said this. All of the competitors to Truth Social, especially those in the radical left Democrat Party, who are failing at every level, like to use their vaunted disinformation machine to try and convince people, and it is not easy to do, that truth is not such a big deal and doesn't get the word out as well as various others, which they know to be false. I think truth is amazing! First of all, it is very solid, having over $200 million in cash and zero debt. We literally saw the financial statements this week, okay? You can sit there and claim that, oh, it's got $200 million in the bank. Yeah, because you just put that there. Like, you had to put that money up front as operating costs. We have zero debt. Okay? The debt doesn't matter. Nobody's talking about the debt. We're talking about the lack of revenue. And, of course, the operating expenses, which, based on the information we got Monday, you can operate for 3 years before you're just totally bankrupt. So nobody's talking about what you got in the bank. That doesn't matter. Nobody's talking about you having zero debts. That also doesn't matter. What matters is that you have no money coming in and a hell of a lot of money going out. But he continued, more importantly, it is the primary way I get the word out. And for better or worse, people want to hear what I have to say, perhaps according to experts, more than anyone else in the world. My TV ratings are by far the highest, and my rallies are not equaled, even close, anywhere or by anyone. Look, I had hundreds of millions of followers on various platforms, and I could have them back again, but was canceled for largely political reasons. You launched a coup against the government, that's why. That's not political. Those platforms all want me back. They need me back. On Truth, I have 7 million followers. Very good for a startup and growing fast. This is in a new post now. But when I put out a statement or message, it is spread all over the place, fast and furious. Everybody seems to get whatever I have to say, and quickly. At press conferences, I will sometimes ask, who is on Truth? I have never had one reporter tell me they are not. They are all on Truth because they have to be. So I don't believe the fake news. Until I came along and exposed them, they were respected and believed. What the hell? I'm not even going to finish it. Like, I don't believe the fake media when they're showing me my own financial reports. That's what this is about. This isn't the media spinning a yarn about Truth Social losing tens of millions of dollars. This is the documents coming from your company that they legally had to file with the SEC, and yeah, your own company says we're hemorrhaging money. This isn't the media. Like, what are you even talking about? You're insane, and you're going even more insane because you're losing tons of money. Truth Social has lost more than $2 billion in value in the last week. Trump alone has lost $1 billion in value this last week, and it's not going to get better. If your post was meant to inspire confidence in any potential investors, trust me, it didn't work. According to new reports, Republicans behind the scenes in the House of Representatives are not only just constantly fighting with one another, that's, you know, a given, we've seen that, But they're also now starting to freak the hell out over the fact that, yeah, Donald Trump is officially your nominee now. He has secured enough votes in the primary to secure that nomination, which means his name is going to be on the ballot in that very first slot, right? President of the United States on November's ballots will be the very first one. So the first Republican name that voters around the country are going to see on that ballot in November is going to be Donald J. Trump and whatever lunatic he picks to be his running mate. And that is terrifying Republicans in those down ballot races, because Republicans are finally waking up to the fact that Donald Trump is in fact a lunatic. He says horrible and crazy things all the time that these Republicans understand are not winning over voters. See, Republicans in Congress, as crazy as they are, they still understand a few very important things. One of those important things is that the polls that we're seeing right now, the few polls that still show Donald Trump ahead, those don't matter, because those polls will change. Because over the last month, with Trump being the only nominee, his polls have all gone down. Every single one of them. His approval rating, his approval on whether or not he can handle issues better than Joe Biden, his overall head-to-head matchup with Biden, it's all gone down ever since he became the only Republican left in the race. And as that continues to go down, Republicans are suddenly worried about the trickle-down effects, right? It's kind of poetic justice that the trickle-down of Donald Trump's disgustingness is what's going to take them out of office, but they also deserve every second of this. Because as voters go to the polls in November and they see that Donald Trump name, and I'm talking about the independent voters out there, the moderates, you know, I'm not left, I'm not right, I'm just kind of whatever I feel that day. They're going to associate every Republican with Donald Trump. And yes, we have historical precedent that tells us this. Specifically, the 2018 and 2020 elections. The only election where Republicans did well, even though they did way worse than they had expected, was in 2022, when Donald Trump was not on the ballot. But any other time that Donald Trump was either on the ballot or in charge of the government, they lost. Except, of course, 2016, obviously that was the first one before people understood how bad he would be. After that, everything went to hell for Republicans. They can only be successful when he's not on that ballot. And they're not going to have that comfort this year in 2024 like they did in 2022. Let's also not forget, in 2022, what happened? We had a string across the country of all of these Trump-endorsed candidates, from Pennsylvania and Michigan to Georgia to Arizona, and they all lost. Not every single one of them, but the ones that Donald Trump campaigned the hardest for, they took the biggest hits. And yes, that affected other Republicans on those ballots who likely would have otherwise won. And those Republicans in Congress understand that. They watched it happen. They saw some of their colleagues not come back. And it's because of Donald Trump. And he's not going to stop. He's not going to get better. He's not going to calm down. He is going to continue to be the same bombastic and horrible human being that he has always been. And more voters are waking up to that. And it is going to absolutely crush Republicans in down ballot races this coming November. Listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced, and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.